As a young musician, not yet 20, playing soprano saxophone in theater bands in Kentucky and Tennessee, Doc Cheatham got a chance to accompany some of the famous early female jazz and blues stars, like Ethel Waters, Ida Cox, and Bessie Smith. Doc later had an opportunity to accompany Ma Rainey on at least one session, his first actually, in Chicago, 1926. The other name that comes up in the very early, early years of your career is Ma Rainey.
Well, yes. Well, I was at the Dreamland at that time, and Ma Rainey had a recording date, and she used the band from the Dreamland to record, do her recordings. That was Albert Wynn's Creole Jazz Band. She used that band for her recordings. I was in that band at the time.
So you had played, was it soprano or alto?
I played soprano saxophone on that recording. Because she, Albert Wynn had a trumpet player in the band, so I was the saxophone player. Saxophone wasn't very important when I listened to Louis Armstrong and Freddie Kaplan and Bob Schaffner and so many great trumpet players in Chicago at that time, that I didn't bother with saxophone anymore. I got rid of it and just changed over to the trumpet. I got rid of the trumpet also and bought the same trumpet that Louis had, the same make. Of course, all trumpet players in Chicago at that time were doing the same thing. They thought that the horn had a lot to do with it. But it was Louis, it wasn't a horn, but everybody copied after him and bought the same trumpet that he had.
Which was a?
It was a Pusher.
Pusher?
Pusher, yes.
Now, you worked in the band of Sam Whiting for a little while, didn't you?
Yes, I was 3 years in Europe with Sam Whiting's band.
Those must have been exciting years.
It was, because I was young and I enjoyed my travels in Europe very much. It was a great, great band, and we played in the best places over there at that time. I was hired with Sam Whiting Band to came to New York for a little vacation. They had been over there years before. And when I first came to New York, I played with Chick Webb's band. And when Sam came in at that time, and he needed a lead trumpet player, and I just went over with him. So I was glad to get the trip going to Europe with Sam instead of the 9 years. It was a great band, and I thought one of the greatest bands I'd ever played with, because he had all kind of exciting and beautiful music, which is why he played in the greatest, best casinos and places in Europe. It was very exciting to me, because I never saw a place time in Europe.
Was it the quality of the musicians or the arrangement? Or
He had the best talent. He was a qualified musician also. He made a lot of arrangements of a beautiful songs. He wasn't a jazz arranger, but he arranged beautiful things until the band could play, because we played in places that called for that type of music.
Down, down, down.
and he had music arrangements by Fletcher, Benny Carter, and Billy Holiday, the father, and Gibson, and Andy Gibson. He had all kind of great jazz arrangements. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had a saxophone section where all the saxophones doubled on other reed instruments like the bassoon and oboe and flute. And everything Sam wrote was, you know, he used all of those instruments to make whatever we played beautiful.
A lot of orchestration then.
Yes, oh yes. He had arrangements by everybody that was writing. And they had a good band, a jazz band and a symphonic jazz band. So I was happy to go to the year for that Sam wedding because it was an experience that I needed.
That was a remarkable band, Sam Wooding y Sus Chocolate Kitties, in Spain in 1929. We heard bits of Sweet Black Blues and the Bullfoot Stomp. Must have been quite a thrill for trumpeter Doc Cheatham to be part of that terrific Sam Wooding Orchestra touring Germany, France, Italy, and Scandinavia in 1929. This is Doc Cheatham's Life in Jazz on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for being with me, sharing in the memories of this fine trumpeter and a wonderful man, Doc Cheatham. In the mid-1960s, Cheatham refashioned himself from an excellent brass section trumpeter and brass section leader into a soloist and improviser. And it was probably being hired to work in a Benny Goodman combo that moved him to develop this side of his talent. And so next I asked Doc Cheatham about Benny Goodman, who he played with for about a year beginning in 1966.
Now, I guess the last of the big band leaders, per se, that you played with, even though it wasn't really a big band, would have been Benny Goodman?
Yes, it was a sextet. I played with him for a year.
Now, that was something different for you, wasn't it, at that time?
Well, one of the things different about it was being with him. Because I tried to do everything he played. That made it easy on him. And he was very happy with me. We worked the whole year, and he had to stop because of his back injury. I had no trouble with him at all. That's why he liked me very much. It wasn't anything he played that I didn't know. I knew everything he played, and that made it easy for him. Because
mm-hmm.
I had learned a lot of tunes even before. Gosh, I have way over 300 or 400 tunes that I memorized right now that I've learned through all these years. And I knew him. Before you got a band, and he was in my, my category, because that's all he played is those old tunes,
mm-hmm.
and I knew everything, and he knew everything, so it wasn't hard, it was very easy, one of the easiest jobs I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Because everyone said he was so hard to work for.
He wasn't hard to work for, but the people don't understand, Benny Goodman was one of the greatest jazz artists that we know of, and you have to respect him for that. When he hires someone, he expects that they know they are the same quality of musician. That's what bothered him, because he had some great musicians with him that he couldn't get along with him because they didn't know what he's playing, all of his sound.
Mm-hmm.
He never told anyone what he's going to play on the job. He just picked up his clarinet and started playing tunes. If you didn't know it, what were you going to do? I knew everything he ever played. But we, he and I, stood out in front of the trio or whatever we had behind us. We had no trouble. He really, I think he was unhappy. That's because of I guess, being a genius. He expected every musician to be as good as he. And that's impossible. That was one of the trouble he had.
What have you got coming up now?
Well, I tell you, we planned this about
about
a minute ago.
Yeah.
This is Doc Cheatham, I think is one of the outstanding, really a beautiful trumpet player, playing When Sunny Is Blue.
The Goodman Quintet featuring Doc Cheatham. Doc Cheatham on horn with the Benny Goodman Quintet and When Sunny Gets Blue. You have something to tell me, Mr. Goodman?
Yes, Bill. We'd like to play a tune written by the late Fats Waller called A Handful of Keys.
The Goodman Quintet live from the Rainbow Grill and A Handful of Keys. Hank? Thank you.
When Sonny Gets Blue and a Handful of Keys, Doc Cheatham with Benny Goodman live at the Rainbow Room in New York City in 1966. And it was partly as a result of joining Goodman that Doc made his choice to develop himself as a soloist late in life. And his hard work paid off, because for the next three decades, Doc was in steady demand as a star soloist, festival guest, and a regular fixture in New York City jazz clubs. His solid musicianship, and as you can hear, his courtly demeanor and clear memories of nearly three quarters of a century of jazz history, made him a welcome and beloved elder of the Jazz Fellowship. I was honored to interview him in 1993. We're at the end of this hour, but only halfway through this two-part memoir of Doc Cheatham's life in jazz. It'll continue next time with Doc recalling Cab Calloway, Alberta Hunter, the DeParis Brothers, and Billie Holiday. Thanks to KALW-FM in San Francisco for technical assistance taping the interview, and to collectors Ray Taubert and Louis Lowenstein for use of rare recordings. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, offering voiceover services and restoration of rare tapes and discs. Your questions, comments, requests for a playlist, or search for deeper understanding of early jazz are welcome at the Jazz Rhythm website. I've added new pictures, articles, links, and sound clips at Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word. JazzHotBigStep.com. Here's a bit of Doc's very last recording on Verve in 1997 with the remarkable young New Orleans trumpeter Nicholas Payton. And this was a duet they shared in the beautiful Out of Nowhere. That's Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.